Welcome back to another episode of Scenario. We are back. My brother Matt. We are in quarantine.
This is the quarantine edition of the Scenario. We are, I'm 4,000 feet underground.
Man, I wish that we had this video supposed to be popping off. I wanted to see that you looked like you was literally in a jail cell where like somebody literally got a little TV. They got they got some rations.
I'm living in a lot of different worlds right now because I already was living with half of my house in between homes. But I'm definitely living on rations now for sure. I've got but I made a lot of movements here though, right? Because when I heard the Big Rona was rolling in, I went ahead and made room for the extra refrigerator. So I got the war rations refrigerator down here with me too.
So what's the difference between the Big Rona and the Little Rona?
So the Big Rona, the Little Rona was what we were talking about last week when it was like over across seas. And then we was just like, oh man, that looked crazy over there. And then when it got over here, it became Big Rona. now it's a real thing. Now it's a real thing now. Because like as soon as they said, hey man, you got to get in the house. Oh, I just stayed in the house. I didn't even mess around no more.
You are an early adopter. You are a very early adopter. If anybody needs to follow Matt on his social media, follow Matt. He is an early adopter to everything that's been happening. He's been early talking about y'all motherfuckers need to stay at home.
I've been at the house for 8 days now.
Damn.
Like today, I went to go take a computer over to my mom so that she could Skype with her people. And that was the furthest I've been away from my house since since last Friday.
Man, I'm not going to front. I've been out every day to my grandmother's, make sure she got stuff and everything back and forth to me and my grandmother's, man.
Got to do that. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's a little bit different.
My folks are in their 60s. My old dude is cool. I don't worry about him. He's going to be all right.
And that's so messed up. Even though your men are older, you'd be like, he's going to be good, though. He'll be
all right. No, he's straight. My biggest win with him was just convincing him that this was actually a real thing. Like, that was the biggest
win. Really?
Yeah. Like, early on, you know, because he was more concerned about opening day coming around. And, you know, he got some concert festival tickets, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, hey, man, you know none of that's probably happening, right, because this thing come. He said, man, this ain't shit. Ain't nothing finna be happening with this. I was like, nah, man. Like, this is a real thing, dog. like whether you believe it or not, it's coming. Like, I've been off the scene for, like, over a week now.
Yeah, and you literally have been the Corona police, though, online, man. You have really been, like, whipping motherfuckers into shape. Like, yo, like, you need. What are you doing out at St. Louis Happy Hour? Like, what are you doing?
Why are you there? Why are you at Happy Hour? Like, one thing I'll say about it is that black folks, our people's resistance against any type of thing that could resemble slavery again is very strong. Our people are like, nope. You're not telling me I can't go to St. Louis Happy Hour and have my 2-for-1 Long Islands. Nope, not me.
Like, what are we talking about here? That's the whole thing with that how we are as people, man.
Yeah.
Last episode, just going back to last episode, we had a great amount of YouTube presence. People were emailing us, subscribing. We appreciate all that.
Yeah.
There were two sections of people that kind of need to kind of fall back.
Okay.
We have a lot of people emailing us saying that we are either promoting that black people can't get corona or we're right on point that black people can't get corona.
Yeah.
We are on neither side of this at all. Everybody can get corona. Like, we are not.
So the last time we
did the show. It was literally a big joke.
Yeah, the last time we did the show was 2 weeks ago, and literally black people didn't have it yet.
No.
It is a fact that to the extent of research that we're willing to do, that black people did not get the coronavirus until Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're rooting to Gobert. We kind of look at him as European.
Yeah. You know,
he's an uppity Negro, as the old people would say.
Hey, Rudy Gobert, somehow, of all the people, because we were talking about this. We were talking about who's going to be the first person to get coronavirus, first athlete to get coronavirus that's going to make people really pay attention. And for 2 seconds, we thought we gave it to Steph Curry.
Yeah, because he got tested early. We thought when you got tested, that mean that you might think you have it.
Yeah, like he got it. Well, so they held Steph out of a game last weekend, and they was just like, oh, we got to keep Steph Curry out. He's, you know what I'm saying? He's. But they said he's got flu-like symptoms. And I was like, oh, no, we gave Steph Curry the coronavirus. Oh, shit, ain't no coming back from this. But actually, it came out that Steph did have the flu, and he's fine. So he ended up being Rudy Gobert, and somehow at the same time, Rudy Gobert became both a hero and a villain at the same time. It just took off.
Yeah, he put it, and it's like really, he may be a hero, but on the aspect of like that he got people out of the paint early with this instead of everybody extending it. Because that shit would have went through the weekend. I guarantee you, if he wouldn't have tapped the mics, did all that, we'd have had all the conference championships for NCAA.
Yep.
It would have got worse. They would have played all them games. And then NCAA would have been like, you know what? We can't do it indoors. Like, it would have been a whole thing. Rudy Gobert might be a hero.
He might be. He's Rudy Gobert. You know what? Actually, Rudy Gobert is a hero. I'm just going to go ahead and say he's Rudy Gobert changed lives somehow. Somehow. It was a lot of emotions that happened because I saw that. Like, I was at dinner, and I was, like, halfway like, man, I don't want to go do this. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna go out anyway because this might be the last time I go to a restaurant for a long time. And, again, the early adapter that I am, yeah, it was the last time I'm going to a restaurant for a long time. And we was there, and while I was eating dinner, I saw Rudy Gobert got it, and then I saw Tom Hanks got it. I was like, oh, we got to go home. if they caught Tom Hanks, it's time for us to get the hell up out of here because that means it's coming.
Yeah, early.
So yeah, man, like I saw that and I was just like, dog, this is crazy. What's going on? And it did nothing from that point but just get crazier and crazier.
Black people can get corona, though, y'all. Just let y'all know.
Yes, black people can get corona.
And then it was messed up. It was on a smaller stage of this. Somebody with my last name got corona in Chicago.
Oh, no.
So, like, all my friends from college, people I knew. But I didn't even know it was even happening in Chicago. They were sending me a Chicago Tribune article like, yo, somebody you named Frierson got corona, though. Is that your family? And I'm like, I mean, it may be, you know what I'm saying? Anything may be with Frierson. I get it. But I'm like, damn. Black people get corona, though. Like,
was it your people?
No, I mean, as far as my aunt said, it may be, but she's not sure. But she didn't know that person, though. But
oh, okay. So then it's Lil Rona for you then.
It's Lil Rona, but at the same time, it was Big Rona because everybody was hitting me up like, you got it too, though? Like, no, I haven't been to Chicago in months. I've not.
Yeah.
Because she looked like Big Mama, too, that you would be cooking.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, oh, was you at the dinner? Was you at Thanksgiving with her? Okay, right. No, I wasn't Thanksgiving with her.
Like Hattie McDaniel?
Exactly.
Got you.
Yep. That's exactly how I was.
So, man, well, what's happened with this, though, man, is, like, this is literally, you know, I feel like it always takes black people a little bit to be like, all right, man, is this a real thing? And how's this going to impact me? So, like, the things I started looking at that unequivocally proved to me that this was a big deal was just some of the crazy stuff that was happening around me at the same time within our people. And we're going to talk about the big world, about how, like, everything in the world, how crazy things have just been anyway. But when I started realizing that black people were starting to take it seriously was when everybody's cousin who worked for the State Department or the CIA or something like that started popping up with some inside intel, because you know we taking it serious when we start just pulling stuff out being like, my cousin told me that this was coming the whole time around, so I'm going to go and get this. And I say, uh-oh, when we start justifying the crazy shit we doing, we definitely believing that it's a real thing now.
Yeah, like, you know, so my cousin's sister's boyfriend's uncle's wife worked for the Pentagon.
Yeah.
She was like, yo, they finna make us be quarantined for like 2 years.
Yeah. Like, so here's the thing. When I started hearing that we was getting quarantined until like September, like, hey, man, y'all better boot in. It's going to be 6 months. I was like, oh, yeah, black people done bought in now. Because we going to make it be as bad as it can possibly be. No matter
but then
what.
Also, have you seen the other side of it, though, where we talking about that vaccine, though, is really what's going to kill you?
Oh, yeah. That's when everybody became what I like to call a corporate hotel. So,
and dive into this. We talked about this beforehand. Go and dive into this.
So this is what happens when something goes on and then we all decide to become experts on it, like, really quick. Like, oh, man, like, somebody coming in like, okay, y'all, listen. Now, y'all need to understand that at this particular time, what we need to be doing is doing this and washing our hands, and we need to be staying away from people and doing all this. Like, nigga, you just read Google. Why do you feel like you're out here being an authority and doing all this? Like, when I saw cats come back in like, all right, listen, I've got an official briefing, and it's serious now. Like, nigga, we've been talking about this for a week. What you talking about?
Official briefing.
We didn't need you to do this. Yeah. Like, if you don't take your ass on somewhere, listen. I'm going to say generously, 85% of the things that you see people talking about right now, you don't need to be paying attention to, at the very least. Like, it's very basic about this. And like, I had to understand what this looked like, what it meant, you know, what it means to bend the curve and stuff like that. And I believe it. It makes sense. Like any other time, this would work if it was something that we weren't kind of already immune to and we can get by. We just ain't immune to this. So that's mm-hmm. the only difference. But like when I started seeing people be like, oh man, it's only the flu. Like, hey, listen, man, the flu sucks. I don't know what kind of flu y'all be having. But I don't want the super flu, even if it's this. So I started realizing that because of the upspring of corporate hoteps and infectious disease experts who got degrees in this, are Groupon, and we'll touch on Groupon later because Groupon is a wacky place right now. People that became experts on this overnight, I said, all right, black people are finally taking this serious. Because when we take something serious, we gonna take it serious as hell.
Yeah, no. We already went through the Tuskegee experiment. We've already been through, you know, Henrietta Lacks, all those different things where the government has been fucking with us in general, which I get. But this is the trick bag about, I've been really thinking about it on a bigger level. Like, the government has made black people so conspiratory that they can do shit right in front of us and we won't even worry about it. If that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're so scared about everything and they've conditioned us to be so like, yo, it's a, you know, the cloak and dagger shit. It ain't even no cloak, just straight dagger.
Yeah, it's funny how some of that stuff ends up blowing up too, because like you'll see people pop up and be like, see, I tried to tell y'all that this is how it's gonna be. I was just like, man, you change your tone every 5 minutes. I don't wanna hear you talking about you trying to tell me anything. Get the hell out of here. Used the word said, like, listen, man, I'm finna still hit the club. You know what I'm saying? And in St. Louis, it was especially worse because it came down on 314 day. And people was like, oh, no.
Yeah, listen, that was man, that was a travesty.
I gotta go get my rice. I gotta go do this. I gotta go do that. And I'm like, man.
See, I did get some rice from C&K. I did get some on my way to my grandma's. I got some rice from C&K and run to my grandma.
I think that did you sit down in C&K, though, and eat them? And, like, did you go to the club?
I wouldn't have sat down in C&K pre-corona. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Like, what do you – like, pre-corona, I wouldn't sit in C&K.
Exactly. So, that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, listen, y'all, we can still do our thing. We can still live our best life, but we need to probably heed this and not treat it like it's just this ain't no big deal. Because this is a big deal. And it's okay for it to be a big deal. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like I don't want for us to extend it and make it into an even bigger deal by being like, nah, I'm good. Because there's a couple of things with this that don't make any sense that I want to point out. So as a person that's worked in media for a while, I understand the power of a headline. I'm really, really, mm-hmm. really like to protect the titles of things. Because like, as you saw of our last episode, if you put it the wrong way, people are just going to read that headline and they just going to lose their mind.
So, hey, man, they really did, though, bro.
So the biggest problem that I've seen with this thing is, it's like it came out at first. Like, hey, this is an old people's disease. You good if you young. Because that gives people license to wild. And the last thing you can give young folks as a ex-wild as hell young dude myself is a license to be like, oh, I'm good? All right, then bet. Let's live. Because as soon as they said it's an old people thing and you're not going to get it, it's like immediately it doesn't impact them. I would have preferred for the way for the news to roll out about this thing to be exactly like HIV. Like, hey, listen, everybody can get this. Everybody can get this. Yeah. You better get the hell away from this Rona. Because then people would have been boarding up their windows and staying at the house. And we would have had a lot more hand sanitizer. We would have had a whole lot more food out there. And we damn sure would have had a lot of toilet paper. Because I want to talk about this goddamn toilet paper. That's when I knew. That was the tipping point for me when I knew. The two tipping points, I'm sorry, that I knew black people was going to take this seriously was toilet paper and the NBA being over.
Mm.
That's when I said, all right, we just sent a message right then and there. And that's when you started seeing gun sales go up and bullets being off the aisle and the corporate hoteps on Facebook talking about what you need to do, which is something that they just Googled. Or they like an assistant medical person at some community health thing, and now they talking like they're the Surgeon General. You know, that's when it happens, and you'd be like, "Why do I listen to you?" Oh man, because I work at the hospital. What do you do at the hospital, brother? Oh well,
I work in the gift shop.
Yeah, but I be around a lot of doctors, and they all came in and talked to me. Right, they all came. They all came and talked to me because they felt safe to talk to me because black people can't get coronavirus. and where did you hear the black people can't get? Where do you hear the black people can't get coronavirus? Oh, I heard that on a podcast, and then it comes back to us.
Yeah, exactly. Because we creep record towards 1,000 just on YouTube right now.
So we're gonna go ahead and let you know that the entire time we realized it was only a matter of time before black people got coronavirus. But 100%. At the moment and at that time, the black people spread in America was low, as far as we know, because we're not counting Rudy Gobert because he's not technically, he can't play for the Dream Team, so he's not an African American.
All right, now this is my next question. How much alcohol have you drank? Because I drink a lot of alcohol. I was super drunk last night. Like, I mean, I was waking up in and out, like texting people in and out of like drunken stupors.
So for me, it's not really, because you know, I take it super because I'm an amateur hypochondriac. I've been like, hey, I can't drink too much because that's going to fuck up my immune system.
Really?
Yeah. So
Explain this.
So, but it's true. Alcohol does lower your immune system. Like you really have to watch that. And that's why a lot of people get sick and stuff like that. And
100%.
And I got to watch it because I'm also an asthmatic. However,
oh wow, okay.
The thing about it is that I'm so deep in the quarantine that even when I have my groceries delivered, I put some hand sanitizer on the groceries before I put them away.
Damn. Yo, you are turning into like the white guy that is at Ruby Ridge.
I'm turning into what was that movie?
You're not even the white guy. You're just turning into Ruby Ridge.
I'm turning into a different type of conspiracy brother. Now I'm turning into I got to protect myself and my people at all costs, brother. So I'm staying the hell off the scene. So really, I'm a week ahead in the quarantine because I ain't been nowhere. So if I got the Rona lurking inside of me, I'm going to know within the next week where some people are resetting their clock every day.
because they're out in the streets every day.
Right, right. I haven't been. The last time I went out in the streets to risk anything, so here's a story of why I can't be in society right now at this particular moment. So I was sitting there and I was like, damn, I'm going to be in the house for a long time. I got to make sure that I got everything I could. I need stuff to entertain me when the things that I have now don't entertain me anymore. So I went up and went out to the Best Buy and I bought MLB The Show for PlayStation. However,
oh, you got the 20 joint, the 20, 20,
yes,
20
the new, joint. The new joint, because I currently can't write about baseball and there's no games being played. So I need to, have a little something in my flow. However, I'm still playing 2K right now. So I'm still straight because the inner black dude in me needs this basketball fix. So I'm still playing 2K.
Somebody showed
me
a thing where they were doing 2K, but there was nobody in the seats.
I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, somebody was showing like somebody had it where like 2K net wise it changed it where nobody was in the seats.
Oh no, I know if you do a practice, nobody will be in the seats, but I don't know about the.
Maybe that's what it is though. I've played 2K, so maybe that's what it is where they had it where it wasn't in the seats, but it was
So I went to the store, and what ended up letting me know that I can't be in the general population for the time being right now is that I walked into the aisle. And it was a dude in there from Europe that was speaking some type of foreign language that I didn't quite understand. I was like, oh, shit, this stuff really slapping Europe right now. Let me stay the hell away from this dude. So I walked around the thing, and there was a dude on the other side that had an English accent. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm caught up. So I went in there.
Oh, no, English accent, you're going to be all right, though. English accent, you all right.
Well, but I said to the dude, I said, hey, man, I need that MLB The Show. I don't see it out here. Dude went to the back and got it and gave it to me in the case. And then I say, hey, man, let me take this out this case because I'm not going to steal it, bro. I'm good. I got plenty of money in my pocket, but I don't trust where this case been. And then I went to go stand.
God damn, man.
And then, so meanwhile,
God
I'm running.
God damn, man. Hold on. Stop there. All I list is stop. That this motherfucker said. You just wanted the CD. That's it. Just give me the CD. And the instruction manual, right?
Oh, No. I wanted it in the case because it's in the plastic. But I didn't want it in that security case, that glass case that they put it in there so you can't just walk out of there.
Oh, the little clipping joint.
Yeah, I said, pop this off for me, bro. Can't do it right now. Dude was cool. He did it for me. But then I get up to the front, and this is how I know the black people wasn't quite taking it seriously enough or the message hadn't got around all the way yet, is I'm standing in line, and then this black lady walks up behind me and stands, like, right behind me. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm already standing 3 feet behind the dude in front of me because I'm not trusting anybody. But then he ends up walking up to, he walks up to the thing, and I walk up some, and she walks up again. I'm like, hey, you need to get the hell away from me. You damn near too close even for regular times. So I walk way in front, and I think she finally gets it at that point that I'm trying to get the hell away from her. And she stops moving as much. But I'm just like, man, I can't be out here. This is too much for me. I can't do it. So after that, I hunkered down here in the survival bin by the washing machine, and I took my 60-inch down here and set it up, and I got my PlayStation and I got my desk, and I'm gonna be down here until probably till 4th of July.
Man, I'm out before that though, man. As soon as they even say like, "Yo, like it's decent when I can," you know, at least just be able to go get me a drink real quick and, you know, take Xander to the park and do some stuff.
You can do that now. You can take her to the park now.
No, I'm not doing that.
So what's your experience as being a parent in this whole thing?
So me and Xander, man, like, we've been doing a lot of stuff around right in front of the crib. Like, literally riding the bikes up and down the driveways and going back and forth and all that good stuff, man. Like, so, you know, it's been real, you know, real quarantined, man. Like, she's getting real reckless, though, lately, man. She's getting real
reckless.
She's like, I want to do, you know, we'll go, you know me, like, I'll take her everywhere with me. So, like, we'll go to Dave and Buster's, kick it, I'll get a drink, and she play games. She, like, she used to that life of being out.
Xander is one of those children in the making of being socially advanced. Like, she'll get to college. Like, Xander will get to college and be bored with all the stuff that other people are excited to have. She's like, I've been living this life my whole life. So
let me have wine at 16. So
that's how I grew up. I wasn't excited by anything in college because my old dude always took me everywhere. So I was like, whatever. Club, dinner, done that. Good.
So, man, let's get into some topics, man. This is the only topic that has cut through the coronavirus, and also he's probably happy that this has happened.
Hold up! Before we get to him, mm-hmm. I had him as like the co-main event. I didn't want to go there already because I know where that's gonna go. But I wanted to talk about how crazy this coronavirus has made people, though, and then how many crazy things have happened around it. At the same time,
do you want to talk to Conspiracy Brother?
We'll get to Conspiracy. I think Conspiracy Brother is going to get fed by some of the topics that we got here. So, like, first things first, it's like it's been really a weird time in sports. And between all of this, first of all, it feels like Kobe Bryant died like last year now. Like,
no, it doesn't even feel like so far away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like that happened like last year. That was like literally like, 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was the end of January.
Like, it's crazy. So a little longer than that. But it feels like that happened like so long ago.
So let's say 7 weeks. 7 weeks.
Somewhere in there. But yeah. It's like, it's insane, like, really just how much stuff has happened since that time. But like, yeah, here we are. But here's the craziness of these times that like people ain't even really like tripping out over this. Tom Brady plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now.
Yo, that, and it's almost like Tom Brady used the corona as an excuse, like, you know, this is time for me to leave. Right. Because if the world ends, though, they're going to pay me.
So, like, the thing about it is, I feel like Tom Brady being a Buccaneer, like, that's about as weird as it gets for me, the way I look at it. Like, when you just look at a team, like, I tried to envision him in that jersey, and I almost passed out. Like, I almost literally just fell out on the ground because my brain stopped working.
Like, I think this is the biggest money maker that's going to happen for any franchise in future franchise period.
They about to cash in, bro.
Now, my dad, you know, because my dad lives in Tampa, and he was already like, "Yo, after Corona over, you and your friends, I'm getting season tickets though. You know, Tom Brady here." I was like, "Dad, our dad's an old, you know, name in his 60s. He doesn't know that you didn't see the news.
They like, young old though, like they're young old."
Yeah, but they'll report it to you like you didn't see it, and you didn't see it on, like, you know, Tom Brady on the Buccaneers. You know I'm gonna get season tickets.
You hear that? Okay. You heard the Tom Brady on the Bucs? Now I'd be like, yeah.
Exactly, like, damn. Yeah. I probably known it before you though. I just didn't tell you because I assumed you would know because I didn't think that news needed to be traveled to you. Yeah, right, there's certain news that you don't send away unless it's something like super shocking. Like, we already knew Tom Brady already said that he wasn't gonna sign the day before. okay, he's on Tampa Bay.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like stuff like that happens. Like Ty Gurley got cut from the Rams. He was damn near.
That was surprising to me, though, man. That was surprising to me.
I knew that one was coming, though. Really? I knew that.
You had some inside baseball. You had some inside baseball.
I had some inside knowledge about just some stuff that the Rams. I feel like that was happening with him. That kind of was leading to that. So that wasn't a surprise for me. It was so
does it go back to 2 seasons ago with his injury?
It goes back to about early last year, like coming back from the injury. Yeah, after that Super Bowl run, like some things had changed. So, like, I knew what was going on with that kind of. Like, I had a feel for that already. So that, yeah, that
but,
didn't
then, surprise but then me. But then I questioned Ty Gurley because I'm like, yo, like, I remember Pace was on the show and he was like, you know, the two or three cities, if you trying to just chill and not do nothing, is Miami, Atlanta, and L.A. And he just moved from one hot city to another hot-ass city.
So, like, I knew that Atlanta would be in it. You know, he played at Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, that was makes the sense. Thing. But, like, they had just let Devontae Freeman go. So, like, for me, it was the Dolphins. It was the
had all hot cities, like all cities that for me, you don't want to live in if you're like working.
It was the Dolphins, the Chargers, and the Falcons for me. So when he signed with the Falcons, it didn't surprise me because they had the opening, first of all. You know what I'm saying? And also they're gonna throw that ball a lot. So even if he is a little worn down, it ain't gonna burn him out. You know what I mean? So but like the thing that really just blew my mind, where I was just like, yo, these are some strange times, when DeAndre Hopkins got traded.
That is the biggest hater move I feel ever, though.
Yeah.
And, like, he should be – that coach – and then that's the thing of, like, I feel in general, your general manager and coach should never be intertwined at all, period.
Bill O'Brien shouldn't be deciding whether your franchise wide receiver stay or not.
You're going to trade him for a running back that's disposable, that was just injured for a whole year, damn near.
Right.
You just did one for one. This is like the Clint Portis for Champ Bailey trade, I feel like.
It just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it feel like that, though? Like the Clint Portis for Champ Bailey trade.
It was they tried to mask it behind some of that money stuff, you know what I'm saying? Saying that, hey, they had to move the money around, you know what I'm saying, to make it make sense and stuff like that. DeAndre was like,
Stephon Diggs went for like 5 draft picks.
right.
And you they rebuilt your whole squad.
Really what it was just like the worst fantasy football trade of all time. And you're just like the type of trade that you would block in fantasy football.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. Your commissioner will block it.
Yeah, like, ain't no way.
Nah, we ain't going to do that.
Like, no.
You done gave him some money in the back end. You gave him $50 at the bar. Like, right. That's, you feel like some tampering going on. Almost.
Yeah, like you look at that trade and you're like, nah, this is a little too funny in the light. So, like, stuff like that was happening and, like, making the sports world just look crazy as hell.
The made us black people know that we got corona.
He was second. He was really the, okay, this is a real thing. Donovan Mitchell was in one. Donovan Mitchell, but then when Kevin Durant got it, I was just like, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening here?
I think Kevin Durant let me put my conspiracy hat on, man. I don't think Kevin Durant really got it, though. I think he's an attention whore.
Wait, you feel like Kevin Durant is pump faking on the Rona?
Yeah, man. Oh. I can just see him just wanting to say he got the Rona, just be up. I mean, this is a guy that literally loves people and something of a sympathy.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. One of the harshest, most OC Facebook – I mean, I'm not Facebook. I'm sorry. One of the just craziest things I've seen, memes I've seen, is when the people said that when they said that Corona was signing up everybody, so KD signed with them too. I was like, oh my God.
Yo, that's what it looks like, though.
I was like, oh my God. Come on, y'all. That's brutal.
It's like he took the LeBron, like in general, KD took the LeBron thing, though, and took it to steroids. Because he's actually the poster child, I feel, for the ability just to be a transient and move, because he never really had a home. He's from D.C. He went to a prep school. Then he went to Texas. Then, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's never been aligned with a place.
But, like, his home, the OKC, he went to Seattle, then he went to OKC. But being from Texas and being in OKC, you hella close to your people.
He's like, not from Texas, like, though. He's not from Texas.
But it ain't about where he's from. He played at Texas, and then he ended up playing in Oklahoma City. Those two spots is mad close to each other. You know what I'm saying?
But it's two different worlds, though. It's two different worlds. Those two different worlds I'm talking
kinda,
about.
Kinda. I mean, I've spent a fair amount of time in OKC, and there's a lot of Texas cats down there. A whole lot. But at any rate, when they said he signed with Rona, I was like, oh, this is just people. Here's the thing. This Rona got people with a lot of time on their hands, and the creativity is starting to shine through it and just assassinate cats, dog. Like, it's not even close. But, like, some of the reactions to the Rona, people pivoting to do what they got to do, have shown some of the ingenuity that I just have applauded. And one of the main things is the drive-through strip joints that they got going on right now. So
I think the drive-through strip joint is the best idea ever came up with in I know we have talked about and other people talked about how that there's going to be a change with working from home. This is going to be the Nuke's next level of strip clubs.
That you could just pop through the strip joint like it's a McDonald's.
Think about if you could just walk through a place, see some ass pop, throw a couple of dollars, don't roll out. And go on your way.
That sounds like dorm popping in college. But
yeah, but I'm saying, and you ride through. You're like, damn, I just want to see some little booty shaking, whatever thing. No, you ride through. You got the little glass. You know, even if they put that ass in front of you, whatever. Even if they didn't have enough glass, I'm like, boom, 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 boom. So, here go 10, 20, though, and here the $5 for the lap dance. Boom, $25. I'm rolling out. And I'm chill, and I ain't.
So here's what happened with this. This is called Lil Darlin's Strip Club in Las Vegas, and
of course it'd be Las Vegas.
And what happened was is that they were offering, they were saying that you could do a drive through, and you could see drive through strip shows. Pay your bread, you know what I'm saying, like you're ordering, you get a drive through strip show, kind of like it's a peep show. But they also was having nude hand sanitizer wrestling on Saturday nights too. It was $100 to come in the door, and you got an opportunity to see some nude hand sanitizer wrestling, and you got a 10-minute strip show too. That sounds like a solid deal, especially when stakes is high and you kind of cornering the market.
Yeah,
I ain't mad at that. I guess get your money.
No, that's real. No, that's real. That's what I'm saying. I'm not mad at the situation with that. I'm not mad about that.
So that's just people. I think that's ingenuity. I applaud that. Other things as well. Now, this is borderline not ingenuity. This is borderline opportunism. Well, I don't even know if it's borderline. Creflo Dollar opened up the Cash App to receive Tide still.
Look here, man. I'm not surprised about this.
In the slightest.
No. And at the same time, I'm surprised he hasn't done this already. I actually think he's behind the curve. He should have been doing this a long time ago. For like, you know, if your grandma, you know, in the hospital, you can still Cash App me your tithes. She's still alive, right? Is your grandmother still alive? Yeah, she's still alive. She still need a tithe.
This illness does not make you be void of your responsibilities, brothers and sisters. We still need to support me. I mean, support the church and make sure that all the lights are staying on. I don't know, man. So, like, is this? I mean, I feel like if it was any other method other than Cash App, I might be okay with it. But
you like the Cash App for like a drug dealer.
The Cash App, yeah, man. The Cash App makes it feel a little bit scummier to me. I don't know. I don't know. The Cash App makes it a little bit more aggressive.
How much drug dealing goes through your Cash App, you think?
Oh man, I don't know. We're gonna find out here soon because brothers can't stand on the streets.
No, oh no, 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 no. Oh, the price of a kilo is gonna be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I can absolutely.
Situation where you had get your little dime bag. Oh no, your dime bag is $25, $30 now. Ooh-wee. And I gotta put a service fee on top of that.
Ooh wee.
Now, I do want to – I know we've been talking a lot of crazy stuff that's going on with Corona, though. But also, I want to talk about D-Nice did a dope-ass mix last night, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed that whole thing, bro. I was watching
Plug Love last night again.
Oh, Christ.
I was watching Plug Love again, man, halfway drunk. Watching Plug Love.
Hold on, can we go back for a second? You said mm-hmm. you've been doing a lot of drinking. So
yeah, I'm drinking right now.
I had one day of drinking. Like I had one big day of drinking because I did a I did this thing that's popping up. I'm sure a bunch of other people have done it too. I did a virtual happy hour with some people I went to school with.
Okay, yeah, yeah, with Brennan.
Yeah. So we had a big Mizzou happy hour, virtual happy hour joint. So I did that, and I got toe up. I'm not even
on the Zoom.
I got toe up, and had to go to. I went to sleep at about 9 o'clock and woke up at about 8:30. So I got bent up, but I hadn't drank in a while. My skills was getting rusty, but it sounded like you've been staying sharp with it.
Yeah, no, I've been pretty consistent with it, man. I've been in and out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I really don't drink till after 3. Except for Sunday. Sunday you drink earlier.
So you got some ethics.
Yeah. Now I appreciate the state of Missouri keeping open liquor stores
as an essential business.
Yes. Because you know what? I think they know that they can like at least keep me chill at the crib. Cause now I might go really crazy if I can't have no beer.
Mm. Okay. Because I'm actually having a Corona premiere right now.
I'm drinking a Blood Light Platinum right now, man. I bought a case of it.
That Blood Light Platinum will slap your ass, boy. They put a little extra hump in them joints.
Oh, no. That's in between, like, other drinks, man. I can't do the Blood Light Platinum consistently because it'll get you fucked up.
Yeah.
But, like, I think there is a thing of – they correcting the curve. Everything is all good. I mean, not everything's not all good, but they're correcting the curve. Everything needs to be coming to a point, mm-hmm. but at the same time, that money maker is fucking alcohol to a certain extent, which is a drug. So you gotta kind of make sure the money's going.
They didn't close the dispensaries in like California either.
No, you can still pick up your weed.
Yeah,
you can still pick up your weed because it's not even really a quarantine. Like, really, honestly, it's like I just can't go do shit besides my crib. Like a real quarantine is like. You can't leave your crib like Italy.
Right. So, I feel like this is the starter kit quarantine.
So you think it's going to happen?
I think that if it don't get better, they're going to make it worse.
Mm.
I really do. But we got the opportunity, if we chill, to make this be a lot better. Because even still looking at the numbers, even though it's like expanding all the time and you're getting more and more cases – well, that was to be expected because now you're able to test. And more tests that come down, like I saw the company today is going to be staying open 24/7 producing tests nonstop. So like they're going to just be, they're diverting other employees and their goal is to create 1 million tests per week. So the more and more tests.
A million tests a week?
Yeah, like it's getting real out here. So like what's going to be happening is that you're going to be getting more and more reports. But that doesn't mean that the disease is spreading more. It just means that you're finding out about more people because we're so far behind on the disease curve. But I think people are looking at that and saying, oh, no, it's getting worse. The quarantine isn't working. Well, that's not true. You're just finding out about more cases.
And we have bad data.
And really, that's telling you why you should have been chilling the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other thing, too. You're going to find out about more and more cases, but that doesn't mean it's getting worse. Because still, even if you look at the mortality rate against the infection rate right now, and this is Sunday that we're doing this, it's still 1.5% in the United States.
Yes. It still had more cases as of right now.
Right. So it still is something. I mean, it still is something that's bad. And I'm not saying that to say that, like, don't take it seriously because the things that are happening are still bad. And I think that number could rise. But you know what I'm saying? The thing is, in the meantime, we just don't know the full effect of it at the moment. So it's going to take a little bit more time. But it's gonna look like it's getting worse because we're gonna find out more information. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just gotta take that with a grain of salt. But it also doesn't mean that we need to be jumping off of the roof about how bad it is when it's really just improving. It's just continuing to stay kind of steady with the rate. The number is just getting higher. But we can bend that curve and slow down how it spreads. And that's really what this is about. It's just making it not spread as quickly. it makes sense to me. I mean, it's just like, if you want to save money, don't spend it. You know what I'm saying? So just don't spend money and you'll accumulate more money. Well, if you don't want to spread this thing around, just stay inside so that either it can run its course with you or you don't catch it and then give it to more people. It makes pretty regular sense to me. I mean,
and it's so interesting that we built our whole existence by not leaving the crib, and motherfuckers want to leave the crib. If that makes sense. Like, we got apps that'll bring you food to the crib. We got
social media that lets you interact with people without ever being around them.
So everything is built off that, but it's the idea of you can't tell me that what the fuck I want to do. That's all.
Right. Right. That's really what it's all about right there, is that people just don't want to be restricted. And that brings me to the craziest shit of the week I've seen, and that's spring break in Florida.
What you mean?
Like, do you see that? How many people was on that beach when they was already like, hey, y'all, don't go out. We need to stay away from each other.
And then, oh, yeah. So, and they was right out there.
So, like, the crazy thing about it is that immediately it became a default thing, like these damn millennials. And millennials was like, hold on now, damn it. This ain't us. We at the house, actually. But this is Gen Z. This is the truly, truly young guns is out here like, hey, I'm bulletproof, bro. It doesn't matter. Yeah, like, I'm straight. Hey, you know, this has been one of the worst weeks in the history of mankind to read the comments. Because some of the comments have been, like, some of the most selfish, crazy stuff I've ever seen in my life. Like, all right, man, if you can, that's your burden to bear, man. I'm not finna not be out here just because I bought these tickets. Like, oh.
What do you mean? I mean, okay, that's fine. You bought your tickets. That's great.
But you also had a gang of people that was out there like, hey, these tickets is cheap. I wouldn't be able to go no other way. Well, then you don't need to go now just because it's cheap. Doesn't mean that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. If this ain't in your life plan to be able to afford this, then it ain't time to do it then just because tickets is cheap because markets are tanking. I don't know, man. It's been some people making some questionable decisions out here.
No, 100%, a whole bunch of questionable decisions. Like,
so, go ahead, my bad.
No, I mean, it's a thing of like, we gotta figure out what's a medium balance of, and also, I'm fine with this industry changing. Maybe this is something bigger that's going to change the way we kind of move around and the way we kind of make things go as a community and the people we are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, things need to maybe this shakes us up. Maybe, I mean, yes. I don't want nobody to die at all. But I'm saying, as a country, like, maybe we need to shake it up. We need to be more consistent and loving, you know, the people that do the jobs that are regular, like the people that are in the service industries and the people that are, you know, at the grocery stores, our nurses, our doctors, all those people. Well, not doctors, they get paid. I'm talking about the people that ain't getting no pay.
Well, we need to look at, I think that what we really need to do is kind of look at the impact of how we support our doctors and things like that, though, because, like, they putting themselves in the line of fire every day. Like, out here and then having to go home and be like, yo, is it safe for me to go home? You know what I mean? Like, it's a crazy thing to consider. Like, I've been around some crazy stuff today. Can I go home? But meanwhile, they out here and we leaning on them to do all these things and make that stuff happen. Like, I don't know, man. I think we're a little bit away from kind of getting on top of this thing. I think that what's happened in China has shown that you can, you know what I'm saying, get over this and that you can rebound from it. But I just hope that, yeah, I agree with you, man. I hope it makes us feel a little bit more considerate towards people and make us kind of have a little bit more of a altruistic outlook, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but then a part of me is like, man, we ain't shit, though, too. Like, people, you know what I'm saying? Like, a part of me is like, we ain't shit, man.
That's certainly a thing, too.
You know, like, we ain't shit for real. Like, because we want to act like we care about shit, but we don't care.
But then we care about things that impact us.
Right. So that's the like we saw the big Corona versus little Corona.
Yes. Big Rona versus little Rona.
Yeah. Those are two different people, two different places, two different things. But I had a real conflict of interest though this week though, man, with I almost went Hotep, man.
Okay.
Carrie Hilson, man.
Yeah, let's talk
anybody
about
has known me for a long time. Me and Carrie Hilson have we've been in a relationship for a long time.
Yes, longer.
Carrie Hilson, she's been out here, man. being real hotel.
Okay. Bring people into the light about what she, I think I sent you this and I fully knew what the ramification could be.
She said that 5G or 6G is affecting everybody's experience.
And 5G, I assume that she's talking about people's cell phones.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Affected so, everything.
Yeah, that the 5G, that we us moving from 4G to 5G is what sped along this coronavirus spread.
Right. And it, the messed up part is that the conspiracy brother and me, and before the dates went to double digits in the years, probably like, yeah, she's right. In the single digit 2000s, I'd have been like, yeah.
In the little 2000s.
The little 2000s, there we go. The little 2000s, I'd have been like, oh, she's 100% correct. Mm-hmm. But the double digit Daryl is like, damn, man.
Double digit Daryl.
It's like, damn, for real, Carrie? Really, Carrie? We gonna do that, Carrie?
Yeah, yeah. So, how long did you entertain that this could be a real thing? That her saying this was legit? Because you know, everybody's got their biases.
I thought it was ridiculous as soon as I heard about it.
Okay, so you didn't, not even for a moment were you like, well, she might have.
I thought it was ridiculous at the beginning. Period.
Caping up for her. So you—that's growth. No. That's growth. Yeah. You've had real growth this because of this. That's.
I know. I thought it was ridiculous at the time.
Okay. Okay.
Like 100% at the time. Well, I thought it was a horrible thing.
Well, so, okay. So does this impact your feeling about her at all by having this, hear this?
Not at all. Out? Not at all.
Okay. Okay. No, so you still feel you're not blaming her.
No, I'm blaming y'all.
So speaking of blame, let's make another
pivot.
Y'all.
No, I'm blaming all y'all people.
Oh.
For getting like her there.
I didn't have anything to do with it. I've been in the house.
No, I'm blaming, you know, it's you, man, all y'all. Y'all made Carrie get like this.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Y'all made Miss Carrie baby be like this. Okay. All of y'all.
So she's on your eternal, I'm willing to get that Rona from her if it came down to a team. Like, you got five people you'd be willing to get that Rona from?
I mean, the streets would say yes. I would say yes, too. Okay. Me and the streets aren't combined. But no, the real talk, though, man, like, it's just ridiculous, though. And then, like, she sent a whole thing of, like, she deleted it. And then she's like, my PR team told me to delete it. But I believe in it. But like, well, shit, man, what the fuck is going on? Why would you even delete it and then say to delete it?
That's when you've got a bad client, when you got to go through that. Like, God damn it, what's the point in us even talking about any of this now?
Like, I don't understand what you're talking about if you're saying that, like, yeah, like, I, like, what was the point of even doing that, though?
Yeah, there is no point. There's no point in a lot of things that are happening. Here's something else that's happened since the world went upside down. On Groupon right now, you can buy acres of the moon. So I stumbled across this morning, and it looks like you can get 2 acres of moon land right now for $18 on Groupon. And it comes with a deed and a map of where you can pick what you want. So if anybody's really feeling panicked about this Rona and they really need to get out of here, Groupon might be able to save you from it right now. Go on Groupon right now, put in moon land, 2 separate words, and you'll get the kickback about the fact that it's available and that it's out there. So again, crazy things are happening. But here's something really crazy that happened. I'm gonna let you take it from here because we're gonna have to call in a friend of ours to help us get through this part of the story. Mm-hmm. So of course, Dr. Umar Johnson wouldn't be able to just sit by idly while this is happening and give the math about the Rona. So can you walk people through Brother Umar's situation right now and the length that it pushed one particular brother to because he's tired of his shit right now?
So shout out to Umar Johnson. He is opening up soon. The Marcus Garvey, I forgot the other acronym for it. But Conspiracy Brother would like to check in. He's very upset that he ain't checked in early. He's just saying like, yo, what, like, yo.
I feel like this has been a rough week for Conspiracy Brother. So if we can get him on the line.
He's been, no, this has been a great week for Conspiracy Brother. Everything that he believed came to fruition.
Ah, okay. All right.
Conspiracy Brother,
please step in.
My name is Akbar, my brother. My name is Akbar.
I'm sorry.
Akbar X. So first off, the coronavirus is a CIA conspiracy. Whip the country into paranoia so everyone supports the mandatory forced vaccinations for all Americans. Mm-hmm. Vaccination exempt laws will become illegal as feds pump Negroes with population control drugs reminiscent of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments.
Okay. Okay. Oh, we don't want that conspiracy, brother. Like
temporary martial law.
What leads you to martial law?
I'm not done. I'm going through my PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. My bad.
Experiment that allows feds opportunity to see how quickly they can disrupt American lives without any pushback. Perfect way to test the benefits and limits of mass social hysteria during a presidential race. How convenient. Believe in it, brother. Believe in it.
Brother Akbar X, thank you, first of all, for taking some time to be with us.
I appreciate you saying my name for real.
I'm sorry.
With my real name.
I thought that you were, you know, doing some things with the other name that you decided not to go by. Mm-hmm. I thought it was some licensing things. I just didn't want you to lose it.
No, that's fine.
How did we get here? You know, it seems like a week ago we were in a much different place. Like, how did we get to this point of where we're at with this coronavirus, if you will, brother?
It's because the white man wants to really poison the black community.
Okay.
And if you understand anything about the black man and what we step out to, you may be in a different place.
Okay. If I could ask you some advice, you know, currently right now I've been, you know, staying at the house, trying to take some precautions, not get, you know, myself too out there and too involved with things. But, you know, what should I be doing to get ready for whatever's to come next? And do you have any thoughts on what's to come next from this?
My brother, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I think that, see, the white man is really trying to build his whole fight against the black masculinity that we have been fighting against. They want you to bend over a couch, my brother.
Oh, whoa, unnecessary.
Yes. No, it's very unnecessary. You're right, it's very unnecessary. Because if you look at all the numbers, what is 8 plus 3?
8 plus 3 is 11, conspiracy.
11, yes. It's 11. 11 days we've been on quarantine almost, my brother.
Okay.
All right.
Have we been on quarantine?
See, the white man been on 11 days. You've been on like a week.
Okay. All right. So I was behind.
The white man's been on 11. And then you got to add 11, 3 more days for the government and their institution of what they want to do on top of that. So at 11. So what's 11 times 22? What's 11 times 2?
11 times 2 or 11 times 22?
11 times 2. I misspoke. 11 times 2, my brother.
I'm sorry. 11 times 2 is 22.
22 days that they had slaves not being in bondage after slaves being in bondage after the Civil War.
Okay.
In some states even more. It was 22 years after that. Actually, it's even more than that because his brother's still locked up right now because of the Constitution. It said you could be a slave still as a Negro.
Okay.
Now, 22 plus 2 is what, my brother?
22 plus 2 is 24.
Kobe. And that leads, Kobe. See, back to Kobe.
God, you know what, Brother Akbar? Thank you for joining us tonight, Brother Akbar. We need it.
No, I'm just saying Kobe. Just, you see the numbers. You see how the numbers flow together? And you're starting to get your numerology together, though.
I am. And that's all thanks to you. Because that, I'll be honest with you, Brother Akbar, that wasn't something that I was too deep in. But I think that continually, because you've given me proof that the numerology must line up because of Kobe, it's helped me get a lot closer to what I need to find the truth out here.
Thank you. One
last thing I want to ask you before we let you go for the week.
Yes.
You know, what's ahead for the next 7 days? You know, they're talking to us about bending the curve and about staying in and quarantining and, you know, just kind of staying away from each other. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Is that a plot to divide the black community, or is that a thing that's going to really help us all in the end as a people?
Oh, good question, my brother. I look at it as a thing of, you have to understand what's going on right now.
Okay.
This is an extermination of black men right now.
Okay.
Oh, they want to keep our black women out there so they can have sex with them and have babies with them.
Ah, we don't want that.
They are baby shop. They are baby shop.
Speaking of having babies, there's been a lot of people saying that January and December of 2021 is going to be a baby season unlike none other.
I told black people to wait another month till next month and have their babies in February.
Okay.
That's what I'm preaching.
Why is that any better?
Have your baby in Black History Month.
Ah, all right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Akbar X, for joining us this week. We truly appreciate you making time for us. Okay. Thank you, brother. So speaking of a brother that could use a little bit of advice, I think, let's go over to one Andrew Gilliam. This is one story that did find a way to crack through the various Rona-induced stories that dominated the headlines. And it got even worse yesterday, I think. So I'll leave this to you. I know that this was one that was directly up your aisle right here.
So, yes, Andrew Gilliam. It's very... And the Andrew Gilliam thing, man. There is a high separation between getting jammed up.
Which I also want to talk about in a few, too.
This is a worst nightmare scenario for anybody in doing anything that's in a period in life. Not just public eye, period.
Okay.
Like, so I'm doped up, getting high. Two dudes in my room, everybody naked. You got pictures of me being naked. I mean, that's the worst nightmare.
And the dudes aren't like straight up dudes either?
No, they're like buffed like brewery dudes.
So like a lot of people are saying, this has also activated a lot of the conspiracy brother in a lot of people as well, like saying that he was set up and he was framed. So,
it's kind of hard to be framed though when you asked out.
And again, the thing that bothered me with this is the second time in a month that meth has come up with black people.
We've been doing meth a lot more than we normally have.
So what is going on with that? That's the thing for me that like that's not something I heard of. I haven't heard about black people and meth ever in my 36 years. I saw a
MTV episode maybe 10 years ago.
But it's like
black girl.
It's like a recreational party drug?
That's one girl.
Where was she from? She was from Indiana, I bet.
No, West Virginia.
Okay. Even more on point. See?
No, it was on brand. It was on brand.
Okay. But see, that made me think I had to do a little homework myself because I had to understand, I had to do a scorecard, if you will, of the ranking of drugs that black people will look at somebody and be like, hey, I'm not messing with them over.
I think cheap drugs become cheap drugs, though, at some point.
So, but here's the thing. I'd like to put this forward for your review and see how severe of an infraction this is for Andrew Gilliam. So, number one. This is going in reverse order from the most acceptable to the least acceptable, okay? So, number one, squares. Smoking has kind of fallen out of vogue in recent years, but, you know, more often, really, squares are really something that people ain't really going to discriminate with you about. They're just going to be like, hey, man, maybe don't smoke that square around me. It's not going to make people not stop rocking with you, though, right? So, next, weed. Weed is next. Weed is a step up from squares still. Because it's just not as widely done yet in like you can't just in most places you can't just like go outside at the baseball game and just like light up a joint. Not quite yet. We'll get there soon. Number three is other niggas prescriptions. Because cats will be in a hurry to be like, hey, let me get a pill from you real quick. Let me get this. You need a little volume. You need a little something. I got some stuff that I got prescribed to me that I'm not going to use. So that's right above weed. Now. Mm-hmm. Level four goes to the next level, and that's ecstasy. Now, ecstasy is some serious stuff, but it's been, people have more or less have said, oh, they're just trying to turn up a little bit. That's okay. Let them have their way. Just don't let them do it too much. All right? Next is cough syrup. Now, cats mixing up their syrup with their liquor, that's been a whole different ball game. That's been a regional thing. it's not something that we promote too often, but it's also not something that's going to make people be like, I can't mess with him. It might be like, oh, no, I'm cool, dog. I really don't want to do that myself, but go ahead and do you.
Okay. Okay.
Next after cough syrup is steroids. And I'm talking about straight up steroids, like Barry Bonds.
Getting injected in your ass steroids.
Yeah, yeah, like steroids. I ain't talking about like your little asthma inhaler. I'm talking about that real steroid, like that. Hey, I'm trying to make it to the league steroid.
Are we putting androgen in there too?
Well, yeah, we'll just put that whole thing underneath that tent right there. Because okay. what we're looking at right there is black people still will defend Barry Bonds, but won't defend Roger Clemens. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, hey, that might not be something I need in my life because I'm not playing ball like that, but I'm not going to condemn that brother for doing it. So steroids. Now we're about to move into something that's the next level up. I think that now we're at level 6, where I say that we start to get a little questionable. Like, all right. So this next one is cocaine. Now, cocaine is a thing where everybody knows somebody that does a little coke, whether you want to admit it or not. And there's a lot more people out here that have done a little coke. But doing coke is something that people will still try to hide from other black people. Like, hey, man.
I mean,
like,
it's a functional drug.
Yeah, it's a thing where it's kind of like people start to look at you like this is a lifestyle decision. Let me be a little careful with them about that. Because people that's doing coke are the type of people that might end up trying to get a little too far with the coke, you know. So it is a lifestyle thing. Next. Things of business is about to pick up a little bit here at level 7. I'm sorry, at level 8, opioids. This has been one of those things I still think that we look at as being a white people drug, but it also is something that, like the Rona, is impacting black people as well. So be careful with the opioids. That's something that's really serious, and it's even got Big Pharma into it now, trying to steer people off of that. Now business is really about to pick up now at this point. And I'm just going to do all of these on one tier together, and we'll just kind of, you know, dissect them the way that we will. PCP, LSD, and mushrooms. That is a...
So you are really going through all of the drugs there for people that don't know anything about drugs.
I am, yes. PCP, LSD, and mushrooms. That's for a particular type of party, and that black people probably don't do on the widespread level.
Yeah.
You know, I know a couple brothers that have done all of those things. And it's definitely not something that, like, you just bring out, like, hey, y'all, I got some LSD. Like, cat's going to be like, cool, let's get it. Because, like, that's not a thing that we do as a people. It is a thing that some people do. It's just not a thing that we do widely as a people. Now we're about to bring this back to the part of the thing that kind of has family interventions and really can ruin your life.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the final three levels right now. This is the upper room right here. Crack and heroin.
Whew, whew, whew.
That's just not something that you're doing. Crack and heroin, those are life changers. Some of these other things are too. Opioids certainly are. But I don't think that opioids have gotten deep enough into the black community yet that it's widely viewed the same way that crack and heroin is. Because those have been ruining us for decades. Like that.
We got breaking news.
Thank you.
Harvey Weinstein is tested for the coronavirus.
Oh shit.
The New York Daily Post is saying that he has corona.
But you know what? When he was going to court, he looked like he had a little rona to him.
He might be like, yo, maybe the rona could get me out of jail.
It's not, bro. It's not. They just gonna
send you to a different. Yeah, you can quarantine me somewhere else, and
they gonna send you to a different part of the jail. That's all that's gonna happen. That you going still, bro? He still got to go to California. Now they put a suspension on a whole lot of cases right now, but he still got to get.
He got the case in California. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He's not getting off the hook. But
with your drug speculation continue?
Yeah, crack and heroin. That's one of those things where you're just like, I'm not doing that, fam. That's a life changer. I'm good. You can't bring that around. If you bring that around, you got to go. So here's the next to worst level based on how we look at this as an offense as black people. I think this might lend a little bit more towards our black women for this one. And that's white women.
That's an extra drug.
Yeah, just above crack and heroin. There are some of our women that will look at you embarking with white women as being on par with crack and heroin and perhaps worse. because at that point
they prefer you be on heroin than being a white woman.
Yes, because they know they're not messing with you at that point. But when you start to deal with white women, you also have eliminated yourself permanently from them. So it's a different type of thing. It's almost like dying in some circles of our people. So white women are right above crack and heroin, and then that brings me to the upper level of least acceptable black drugs, and that's meth. So I say all that to say that these brothers that are starting to dabble with this meth and staying in the news for that, they are at the worst level of perceived drugs for black people in the culture.
Yeah, but you got to think that we're all becoming cosmopolitan. We're all becoming Tiger Woods' best dream.
Black people are becoming the dream of Tiger Woods?
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about this on a bigger scale is that... Well,
please share. You know what?
Yeah. His dream is for us all to be able to do all the same drugs, all the same women, all the same men. And it is what it is.
Tiger Woods has dreams about us doing men?
Yeah. If you're a woman...
Oh, okay.
Or you could be a man, want to be a man. Hey, it's what it is.
I had never prescribed that with Tiger before, so I was a little...
I mean, you look at... I mean, look, man, the Andrew Gillingham thing, though, overall, this is a shutdown of a career that more than I've never seen before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is all of... He checked every box of everything that, like I said earlier, like, that you didn't want to happen. To you, period. Mm-hmm. I'm drunk, and people taking pictures of me. Check. Or I'm getting high and people taking pictures of me. Check.
Yeah.
I'm naked or doing something, man or woman, whatever your sexual preference is, in a room and they're taking pictures of me. Check, check.
Yeah, you're right.
This is worse than Marion Barry, dog.
Yeah, it all right. So
it's just because Corona. It's only because Corona that we're not talking about this like that.
So as the blackest person I know, I'd like to know how this weighs onto your viewpoint.
Marion Barry is like, bitch, you set me up. He at least defended himself.
Right. Right. Right.
This is indefense. You can't do anything but say, like, yo, I was messed up. I gotta go to rehab.
Okay.
I mean, you have no other defense. Marion Barry was like, she set me up.
Yeah, that's true.
I was totally involved in this though. Yeah. She told me we was gonna kick it, we're gonna do what we're gonna do. We hanging out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the police come in and kick in the door on me. They got it's people ODing in the room, like all kind of. That's just it. But at the same time, as the great Church says, I do my dirt all by my lonely. So I can't get mad at him for that because he didn't drag nobody. He did it all by himself.
It to me, it feels like in The Godfather when they caught the senator with the dead hooker.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a setup. It was a setup the whole time.
Yep. Yep. That's why I feel kind of as a setup, though, too. But at the same time, use the Barack Obama playbook.
The Barack Obama playbook needs to be the one that we're subscribing to. Just
look, when I want to jump in that game, I can't play no other games. I can't do no other reindeer games, period.
Yeah, that's also known as the LeBron James, too.
Yeah, no. Oh, you know what? Yes. It's the LeBron, it's the Lobo. I'll call it the Lobo playbook.
They're the two foremost Teflon Dons of our era.
Yeah. You can't play around like that. If you want to play, now if you want to do and devil and devil what you want to do, then don't jump into a public arena like that.
Yeah. Like if you want to live that life, brother, you got to work at Jiffy Lube.
Yep. And that's fine. If you want to do that, that's nothing wrong with that. At the same time, there's nothing wrong with that. We got this freaking racism, man. Jump into this.
Let's finish. Let's finish up. Let's finish up with this. Let's make this be the main scenario tonight. Fine-tune the other one and see where it's at. We got a lot of time to put a lot of content out. So, y'all, I want y'all to know that the scenario Corona survival episodes are going to be ones that are going to come out more frequently than the regular show just because, hey, we got time. I know the content's needed.
And y'all got time, too.
And y'all got time. So we're going to do that. We're probably going to even get some guests involved here because, obviously, everybody is available right now. So we'll see what we could do right there. But, yeah, so you sent me this article this morning. So I'm curious to know just kind of where this came across on your meter and what this is looking like.
All right. So basically the white supremacists who are trying to weaponize the coronavirus to take out other people. Even though I'm trying to figure out how do you seclude yourself from a virus that is kind of, it's not airborne, but it's kind of just there. This is kind of like a worst nightmare to a certain extent because you can't, unless y'all got the cure as white supremacists.
I wouldn't put that on them, no.
I'm just trying to figure out like how.
So read some of the details you sent about how they planned on instituting this and spreading this.
All right. So basically, their details are this, like this. So they basically decided that we are. Let me pull this up. Here we go. Sorry. So the white supremacists. This is from Complex Magazine. They say federal law enforcement points to online discussions in which white racial motivated extremists discuss what they would do if they contracted COVID-19. Then they said they had a thing called obligation to spread the virus, specifically targeting law enforcement and minority communities, with some mention of public places in general. So basically, they wanted to put out some. They found somebody in their crew that had it. Just put him out and just hang out and live in different places of random people that of color are around law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Dylan Roof is on there. Dylan Roof is somebody they referenced as someone that got it right.
As an inspiration, yeah.
Yeah, to got it right, but he didn't have the means to get it all the way right. Yeah. Dude, this is... But at the same time, then there's also there... I know there was a guy I was reading about that was he was a white supremacist, but he's trying to make himself into a coronavirus expert.
Yeah, again, that goes into the things that we were talking about being a corporate hotel. That impacts people across the board. That's everybody. So you know what? This doesn't surprise me, because I'd sent you an article earlier this week about how they had like a whole cult in South Korea that was doing that. That was like going out and like spreading the virus as like a weapon or something like that. But I'm just like, this is like some straight up dangerous stuff. And this is also the power of them quarantines. That's why everybody needs to stay the hell out of there, because there's some people out there that's trying to do some crazy stuff to people with this whole thing. So I don't know, man. That's the definition of this week in racism right there. When you're straight up using a viral disease as a way to target particular people. Like, but I tell you what, if you're a white supremacist and you're trying to target a specific people, I want to see them go down on Fairgrounds Park and down on Goodfella and be licking some gas pumps, because they're going to still get run out of town. Ooh, for that.
You're right about that.
And where you going to go to do this, it's still going to get you.
I want you to go on the north side, the west side real quick and really do all what you're talking about.
Yeah, you got time. Go try that, bro. Go try that. All right, man. Well, so what else you got, man? I think we gonna come back this week, man.
We coming back though in like 2 days, y'all.
We gonna come back with the big Rona survival kit.
This won't be as long as this one. We may do some little 20-30 minute hitters for y'all. We haven't been on for a long time, so we try to get this to you. But we're gonna give y'all some more heat. Because y'all ain't got nothing to do. We ain't gonna do. So why not y'all listen to us and hang out with us? And please, saying that we're horrible stewards for blackness, because we made an episode about what black person you know. Look, it was a joke. You didn't listen to the show. You saw the headline.
You're a headline reader. If you think that, and also you clearly haven't read the backlog of this show.
Oh, definitely. You ain't listen. You ain't click on other links. You did nothing like that.
You're a knee jerk reactor. Enjoy it. Enjoy the project. Yeah.
But definitely, y'all, thank y'all for listening, as always. Email us, straightolc@gmail.com. We got a lot more heat hopefully coming soon. If y'all live in a couple of days, we'll see y'all.
We got time, man. We'll be here. We survived. All right. Peace.